When your stomach speaks to you, what does it say? Does it let out an impatient growl just before lunch or an unhappy gurgle after you eat something that does not agree with it? Perhaps its missives extend beyond the table. Maybe it flips when your crush walks into the room or aches when something doesn't feel quite right. It is an organ, after all, with whom we seem to be in near constant conversation. Not only does it demand to be fed several times a day, but it also appears to have some hand in forming our complex emotional lives. My name is Elsa Richardson, and my book, Rumbles, A Curious History of the Gut, asks how this noisy organ came to shape how we see ourselves and the world around us. Unearthing a rich digestive discourse from ancient Greece to 20th century America, it uses religious tracts, medical treaties, literary texts, anthropological studies, etiquette guides, satirical cartoons, and political pamphlets to argue that there is far more to the belly than might first appear. Rumbles uncovers the complicated history and rich cultural life of the gut, and to whet your appetite, I'm going to share five of the book's key insights. The gut-brain connection is nothing new. Over the last decade or so, scientists have devoted themselves to exploring the belly's curiously intimate relationship with the mind. They have found that the two communicate through several key routes in the body. The immune system, the vagus nerve that controls heart rate and digestion, the tryptophan metabolism, which is associated with aging and with inflammation, and the enteric nervous system that governs gastrointestinal behaviour. Most remarkable, perhaps, is the revelation that the gut can, in a sense, think for itself. There are 100 million neurons lodged in your alimentary canal, and these can operate independently from the central nervous system, a quality that has led some experts to describe the gut as, in truth, our second brain. Modern science would have us believe that this is a recent discovery, but the idea that the belly might have some part to play in the life of the mind is far from novel. Not only has the stomach long been characterized as the true source of our emotions, it has also been hailed as a peculiarly intelligent organ. Galen, for instance, one of the most acclaimed physicians of the ancient world, thought the gut capable of acting independently from the brain because it was able to register its own emptiness. He wrote that nature has granted to the stomach alone, and particularly to the parts of it near the mouth, the ability to feel a lack which rouses the animal and stimulates it to seek food. We are all familiar with the growling demands of an empty belly, but for Galen, these served as proof that it possessed a kind of visceral intelligence. This understanding of the gut sustained a much broader theory of the body, debated through antiquity, that refused to make any sharp distinction between its physical and its mental aspects, allowing for the possibility that thinking might take place at various sites around the body. And today, biomedicine is beginning to ask the same kind of questions. Insight 2. The relationship between the gut and the brain has not always been a friendly one. We tend to imagine the union of mind and belly as a largely amiable one, but it has a far more troubled history. Ancient philosophers were deeply suspicious of this connection. Plato, for instance, held the guts responsible for our baser instincts and tasked the brain and heart with keeping them in check. Later, medieval doctors warned that poisonous vapours fermenting in the depths of the bowel could cause madness. While 18th century physicians held poor digestion responsible for the notoriously melancholic temperament of the English. And well into the 19th century, the gut was routinely characterised as a sort of bad temper, or as one doctor declared, it was a strangely wicked and ungrateful organ, implacably opposed to man's progress and comfort. We now imagine that learning to listen to our guts might help us to better manage our mental health, but through history, the belly has been more often viewed as a cause of emotional turmoil, foul moods induced by gastric toxins, nightmares brought on by indigestion, and so on. Indeed, the gut seems to have been, for most of history, kind of a troublemaker. Early medical authorities established a hierarchy of the body that placed the rational head at the top, followed by the virtuous heart, and then down to the base intestines. Good health required the stomach to know its place, but it was widely held that it had something of an attitude problem. A physician writing in the middle of the 18th century warned that spasms of the lower belly could impair the force of memory and the brightness of genius. And in 1852, a doctor called James Eyre noted that though the gut ought to be invaluable as a slave, it was often a dangerous and too powerful despot. Despite its lowly position in the corporeal pecking order, the messy viscera of the digestive system wielded power even over the most elevated parts, interrupting the important work of the brain and infecting the mind with dark moods. Insight 3. The belly was once thought to have prophetic powers. Guts may have been under suspicion, but they were also more powerful in the past than we currently allow for. In medieval Britain, for instance, it was possible to consult the services of a gastromancer, a kind of fortune teller who would listen to the gurgles and the splutters of the stomach for news of tragic deaths, coming events, and even unexpected visitors. It was, however, advisable to treat the language of the belly with caution, as it was not always clear who or what was speaking. A talkative gut could be evidence of demonic possession. Demons love to hide out in the belly. Or, as the 16th century witchfinder Nicholas Romay had it, very often the devil has his dwelling in those parts which, like the bilge of a ship, receive the filth and excrements of the body. Accused witches were often described as having bloated stomachs, evidence of the supernatural entities that lurked within. A site of dirt and corruption, located far from the higher faculties of the heart and mind, the bowels were her dark forces made their home in the body. Despite sometimes being associated with witches, gastromancy remained part of medical practice well into the 18th century, as doctors would listen carefully to the gurgles and splutters of the belly to identify illnesses in the body. Even today, the ear remains a key tool in the diagnosis of many gastric conditions, a legacy that perhaps points to how our modern understandings of the gut owe some debt to centuries of magical and folkloric thinking. Insight 4. The gut is gendered. Swollen bellies were still, in the medieval period, more readily associated with pregnancy than with demonic possession. But there were linguistic overlaps between womb and gut. The Latin term venter was used well into the 16th century to refer to both womb and gut. And this slippage in the distinction between gestation and digestion reveals something of how gendered the gut has been. In the early part of the 20th century, a popular laxative called bile beans marketed itself exclusively to women. Not only, they claimed, was the female physiology more predisposed to constipation, but also sluggish bowels were a threat to the successful performance of femininity. Inattention to digestion might, adverts for bile beans warned, lead to a thick waist and a dull complexion, jeopardising marriage prospects and forcing women to adopt unattractive, mannish ways to compensate. While it is no surprise to find women in history being judged on their appearance and warned that their future happiness depended upon good looks, it is significant to find that the movements of the digestive tract were so implicated in this familiar cultural narrative. The gut has, however, also been gendered as male, and at times perceived as a site of peculiarly masculine energy. To have guts is to be tough, spirited, and courageous. To go with your gut, to follow a gut feeling, to act in a way that takes guts, is to demonstrate a certain strength of character. Around 1914, a professor of clinical medicine at Ohio State University coined another term for this manly inner resolve, intestinal fortitude. Travelling back to his office after coaching the college football team, John W. Wills described how his thoughts of sport had mingled with the lecture he was about to deliver on physiology and brought the new expression to mind. This expression, intestinal fortitude, caught on quickly and soon took on special resonance as young men began to be called up to fight in the First World War. That even today, the Oxford English Dictionary illustrates the use of the colloquialism to have guts with examples that refer only to men, suggests that this link between bellies and courage remains almost exclusively masculine. Insight 5. The gut is key to individual and collective identity. This unruly organ can tell us, I think, a lot about ourselves. We still tend to conflate identity with mind, but it's clear that digestive processes, consumption, absorption, defecation, also play an important role in shaping our sense of self. Digestion always involves a kind of mediation between the interior and the outside world. To eat is to bring something exterior, a foreign substance, into the deepest recesses of the body. This everyday, seemingly mundane act entails a kind of psychological jeopardy, the incorporation of something not me into the self, which may go some way to explaining the gut's power to disrupt, unsettle, and upend. According to the anthropologist Mary Douglas, what we choose to eat or not to eat is governed by our conception of symbolic pollution. In the same way as dirt is simply, in her terms, matter out of place, a substance that provokes disgust because it violates agreed-upon social categories, so too are our food choices informed by culturally established boundaries between clean and unclean, safe and unsafe, self and other. The work of the gut is thus implicated in all kinds of complicated debates around subjectivity, technology, sexuality, spirituality, nationhood, and identity. We should listen to our guts then, to learn more about ourselves, but also to better understand the world. Thanks for listening, and for more on the weird and wonderful history of the gut, look out for Rumbles, A Curious History of the Gut, online and in all good bookshops.